And welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 95.3. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hope everybody out there is having a wonderful day and that you're staying safe. It's always a pleasure on Press Row to be joined by Dane Bradshaw, former Tennessee guard and star of the SEC Network, hoop analyst du jour. He is down in Athens, Georgia. Of course, the Vols looking to rebound against a Georgia team that has won 10 in a row for the first time since the late 1940s. The man on the spot. Dane, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all?
Doing fine. Hey, listen, do I need to offer condolences? You're now the second most recognized announcer at associated with Thunder Enterprises now that Jim Nance has got a place on Etna Mountain. Are you okay with that?
Hey, yeah, that is perfectly fine, but I appreciate you bringing it up. Jim Nance, yeah, agreeing to be a spokesperson for River Gorge Ranch. We're pumped, man. He came to site, came to property. I'd never met him before. All jokes aside, there's not a nicer, more generous person. He's kind with everybody on our staff. Was blown away by our property. You know, he's a guy that moved from California to Nashville, so he gets all the reasons why people want to come to Tennessee. He loves it. And, he didn't come with a whole crew or a bunch of handlers. He just drove up on his own and walked right in our office. So it was really cool.
That does have to be kind of bizarre. It's like, hey, there's Jim Nance. All right, I wanted to ask, during your time at Tennessee, even though you're playing basketball and he's playing football, how well did you get to know Jerod Mayo?
Oh, he was awesome, man. Well, I mean, we weren't super close, but obviously passed each other in the weight room, training room, cafeteria. He was such a nice guy, first class. I was always rooting for him. I know he had a really nice career with New England. I believe he had some injuries and things like that. Especially now, given today's news, I wish I would have stayed in touch. It probably seemed too convenient for me to reach out and try to reconnect at this point. But he's a great one, man. I was thrilled, and I've seen some of the former players involved on social media congratulating him. Inky Johnson, who everybody thinks the world of. I mean, those guys are extremely close. So that just tells you the type of company and respect he has, and the people that he keeps around him. I mean, and what more can you say? You know, when Belichick wants to have you on his team and you can be a star for him, be hired by him, and then be the succession plan, regardless of what happens, with his coaching career from this point on, I can't think of a greater compliment and respect for him.
All right, of course, you have been a busybody. I saw you up last Saturday for the Tennessee-Ole Miss game. Tennessee, it seemed like, could do no wrong against the Rebels. And then there was a lot that went wrong Wednesday night. So you've seen two very different Tennessee teams its last two games. Just kind of your big picture thought of the Vols right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy thing to say is that they can be a little Jekyll and Hyde offensively. We saw some of that. First half Ole Miss, second half they stuck with it and just caught fire and really destroyed Ole Miss in that second half. Only 22 points in the first half, I believe, against Mississippi State. But the bigger picture there is they've got to be able to hold their own down low against the best of the best. And we've seen them in some of their big games. I think that's been a huge difference. You saw Baycott do it to Adu. I think Adu's one of the better bigs in the SEC. He played great at times, but the physicality has to step it up a notch. And you could tell Mississippi State made a conscious effort to go at Jonas Adu in the post because they have all SEC big man Tolu Smith back, and he just buried him down low. And you heard Rick Barnes talk a little bit about in the post game, hey, you got to get that arm bar out there, low man wins, and Jonas Adu with that incredible wingspan and standing reach, you would think that would be enough to alter shot. But when you get some of these big boys in the SEC, they back you down under the basket. All of a sudden, that rim protection is stuck on the other side of the rim from where it needs to be.
Dane, I don't know if you, because, obviously I heard that same Barnes interview. I don't know if you heard Polinsky earlier this week, because he was asked about the defensive play, and he said, I don't think we're as physical as we were last year, and I don't think we're as big. I know this guy didn't threaten any all-SEC teams, but does this team miss an Uros Plavcic, who at the very worst could go out there and give you, like, two hard fouls in the first 77 seconds to, like, intimidate the other team?
Yeah, I think so, but I think Awaka can be that guy for them. So look, are they as physical as they were last year? Maybe not, because Adu is getting more minutes than before, but he brings a lot to the table as well. So I think they can be okay down there. And you heard Barnes mention, too, look, they tried to bring help to Adu in the second half, but when you're getting buried so low, it's hard for guards to come and double quickly enough, and you got guys like Tolu Smith who are veterans that know how to anticipate that and make quick moves. So if anything, in some of those cases, maybe you see Iwaka getting a few more minutes in those situations. So I think they'll be okay in that regard, but it's just something to keep an eye out for, I think, for this coming game against Georgia. While Georgia does have a good big man, a center, Chiwa, he's 7 foot. They don't really have much coming off the bench at the five spot, and they don't have much rim protection. So I don't see this being a game where Tennessee should get punked by any means in the paint.
Dane, you obviously played the game, and it's so easy to say, like going back to Wednesday night, that Kinect had 28, Ziegler had 26. Not everybody can score in the mid-20s on the same roster on the same evening. But there is just kind of the other concerning thing, that why do Josiah Jordan-James and Santiago Vescovi, you know, after 5 years, still kind of have that knack of disappearing from time to time in games, sometimes both together like they did the other night?
Yeah. And Josiah, he was going up against Cam Matthews, who's a pretty physical player from Mississippi State, missed some shots that he normally can make. And Vescovi's, look, I think as much as you'd like to see a shot fall, he's a guy that can impact the game in other ways than scoring. And where I feel for him right now is, like, he was, as you guys know, he was option A last year. And even when he had to take some bad shots into the shot clock and was kind of chasing the ball to bail Tennessee out, that allowed him to kind of get in a little bit of an offensive rhythm. Whereas now I think he's trying to play within the framework of the offense. But when you get 4 field goal attempts, and if you miss a few, all of a sudden those 0-for-3s and 1-for-4 start adding up, and you lose confidence. And I can attest as a senior, I wasn't nearly the player Vescovi was or an All-SEC guy, but you put a lot of pressure on yourself because you want that last year to be your best year. And when it gets off to the start that you did not anticipate, it becomes a confidence issue, and no matter how good the team is. And I think that's something that Vescovi's struggling with right now. I will say this. In recent years, most players, their percentages go down when you enter league play because the scouts out on you, the film, all this, and the grind. Vescovi's 3-point percentage always went up and improved in league play. His conditioning is elite. So we'll see if that trend can reappear here now that we're in game 3 of SEC play.
Interesting. Good stuff. We're visiting with Dane Bradshaw of the SEC Network here on Press Row on ESPN 95.3. You've done Tennessee games. You've also done games involving your former coach, Bruce Pearl. Auburn is rolling as much as any team right now. They seem to have remedied some of the issues from last year. They don't seem to be as reliant on 3-point shots to where they don't have as many disastrous games. I know they had one at Appalachian State from long range. But when you look at Auburn, what do you see as far as their strength, and what do you see could be their Achilles?
Yeah, I think their strengths are just their depth. They go 10 deep. Everybody knows their roles. As a head coach, you want to be able to know what you're going to get from your players night in, night out. You want to know, hey, I know what your strong suits are. I know what your weaknesses are. Don't have them flip-flop on me game to game. I got to be able to game plan for what you are as a player. And I think Bruce Pearl has that with this Auburn team. And the way he's gotten these transfers, he wants guys with a chip on their shoulder similar to him. Most of their transfers are guys that are transferring up, that want to prove themselves. And whether it's, you know, they got Division II, junior college, mid-major, you name it. And I think that's helped with that winning DNA they have right now. And Jani Broome down low with the rim protection. And so, look, defensively, I think they're strong. And I think they've got a pretty good IQ, and you can tell that with the assist-to-turnover ratio. And why that's important is Bruce Pearl can game plan and draw up X's and O's with the best of them. But if you don't have a team that can absorb the scouting report and remember and execute those plays and those wrinkles, then Bruce Pearl is not as effective as a coach. I think this team has that. And guys like Jalen Williams, I mean, that kid's playing phenomenal. He doesn't take a bad shot. The reason his percentages are so high, with all due respect to him, yeah, he runs the floor really well, and he makes the open three. But Bruce Pearl gets him open looks, and I don't want to take anything away, but he executes the play. He comes off screens hard, and that's why he's shooting such a high percentage. So it's exciting to see those guys play, and they're one of the surprising stories in the league, even though they were picked to finish around fifth in the league. And I'm not sure they're going to win the league, but for them to be a top-tier team right now, I think is a bit of a surprise. The other thing I'll say, to give credit, because as much as you follow Auburn, KD Johnson, it was always kind of, he'll make a good play, then follow it up with a bad play. I think he's getting to the point where he's kind of good play, maybe a bad play. Like, it's getting a little bit less risky with him out on the court, and I think that's helped Auburn too.
Yeah, the wild child down there is Chad Baker Mazzara now. I mean, he can do so many things, but he hits an early three at Arkansas and then tells the Arkansas bench to go, you know what, itself, and gets teed up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. He's playing with some confidence for sure. He's excited. Like, that's a guy where I think Trey Donaldson had one of those too. And I saw Bruce when that happened, and he was upset at him. But it's just not like him to try to embarrass the player by pulling him out of the game. Whether coaches agree with that or not, some guys are saying, you get a tech, you cost the team, you're coming out. And Bruce is like, hey, we'll talk about that more after. I'm not going to try to, send a message to you on national TV and have cameras on you and crowd, this and that. We'll talk through it.
Got a couple of more minutes with Dane Bradshaw of the SEC Network here on Press Row on ESPN 95.3. Your early thoughts on Kentucky? Obviously, a lot of talented freshmen. They had the home loss to UNC Wilmington, but they've also had some really impressive showings. One of the best games of the season, I think, was the game in Atlanta against UNC.
Yeah, and not all freshman classes are created equal, and this is one of those special freshman classes for John Calipari, and credit him for saying, hey, I'm going to go to the transfer portal less, even as tempting as it is. I'm going to go back to my bread and butter, which is finding the best young talent in the country. I'm going to put them on the fast track to maturity, and by March, we're going to be playing our best ball, and my freshmen are going to be so experienced and so well-versed in our offense that they're going to be looking like upperclassmen come March. And I think they are certainly well ahead of schedule when you got the surprises like Reed Shepherd. I'm not going to call him an afterthought, but he wasn't the top of that freshman class. And here he is, some projecting as a first-round pick. And the kid can hardly do any wrong. I mean, he impacts the game in so many ways. Now, they've got the seven-footer back, Aaron Bradshaw, who's very versatile. I will say, though, I don't know that when shots aren't falling, because that's going to happen at some point, is there a guy that they can really dump the ball into down low? And Trey Mitchell is a good 4-5 mismatch, but the way we've seen Tennessee try to dump it down to Adu, we saw Mississippi State talking about them with Cole Smith, Jani Broome at Auburn. So that's the one thing for Kentucky, I'd say, offensively, when you're not in a rhythm and teams slow it down a little bit, where's that post presence down low? So that's a little bit of wait to be seen. And defensively, they've got a long way to go. They can get some steals and exciting play, but can they guard the ball a little bit better? I do think their guards have a tendency to get beat off the bounce some.
Dane, last quick question. If you like Auburn, if you like Kentucky, if you like Tennessee, Alabama's obviously been battle-tested. I know they don't have the record that they want right now, but if you take Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, those would be pretty decent bets if I just said, who do you think will finish in the top five of the league? Who would be a fifth team that you would put in there with Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky, and Tennessee?
Boy, but before the season, it certainly would have been Texas A&M. They're just really struggling to find their groove right now. They've got a really talented backcourt, Tyrese Radford, and preseason player of the year, Wade Taylor. Wade Taylor just hadn't been able to find his shooting stroke at all. He takes some really tough shots, but that's not really new to his game either. Like, he was making those tough shots. So if they can just, make a few more of their threes, easier said than done. I'm not ready to just shut the door on Texas A&M as being in that top group. I think they and Buzz Williams has found a way mid-season in the past to come on strong late once they find their rotations and their identity as a team. So I would look at Texas A&M of even though Ole Miss is starting really strong, as I would say the Aggies talent-wise have the highest ceiling.
Gotcha. Listen, Dane, great stuff as always. Thank you so much on this Friday for taking time. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game tomorrow. And we will talk to you down the road this winter. Always appreciate your visits to Press Row.
Always fun. Thanks a lot.
All right. Dane Bradshaw does such a great job with the SEC Network. Joining us, 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 95.3.